Hi, this is Scott Stanley with DTG Ministries, continuing to explore the deep things of God. And that is something I choose to say on every podcast, because we truly are delving into the deep things of God, and these things are revealed to us by His Spirit. These are things that have not entered into the heart of man. This is something that needs to be told us. And today, we're going to have to shift gears if we're going to continue looking at the book of Revelation, because we have to recognize a change that comes upon God's last generation church. Now, I want to read a text in Luke 17, and I want to start at verse 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation or outward observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So, for the kingdom of God to be within us, it would have to be within our minds. The minds, the understanding of the children of God. So, let's connect this with another scripture in Luke chapter 22, and this is at the Passover. And in Luke 22, let me start reading, let me just go ahead and include verse 13 in this. "And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, 'With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, 'Take this, and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.'" So, if the kingdom of God is within me, and I won't drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come, he is talking about an understanding his church would receive. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is how you understand God, how you are perceiving Him. So he says, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until you have an understanding of God's kingdom." That basically is what he is saying. The kingdom of God, we're not talking about an outward thing. It doesn't come with outward observation. It comes with an understanding. Now notice in verse 16 of Luke 22, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of it until it be fulfilled in your understanding." You see what he's saying? This has to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will come to you, and it will be fulfilled in your understanding. This is something that happens to the true church. This is a mark of a true believer. Is to be able to enter into the kingdom of God or an understanding of it. Now, what I want to do is continue reading here in Luke 22, verse 19. "He took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke the bread, and he gave it unto them, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup after supper, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So, if we could get an understanding of the bread and the wine that he is talking about here, the bread and the blood. Well, we know that that bread is his broken body. As he said in Mark chapter 14, 22, "This is my body." Well, when you think of blood, you can't have blood except it come from a broken body. And we're talking about now the kingdom of God. An understanding coming to us that puts you in the kingdom, or I could say puts that kingdom within you. Now, we have touched on the fact of the cross and Christ's broken body, the crown of thorns, the stripes on his back. See, the broken body, that is what drew the blood. That is where the blood came from. And it's the result of iniquity. So he breaks the bread and he says, "This is my body." His body was going to be broken for us. And Paul touches on this when he says in 2 Corinthians 5, "He that knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He knew no sin, but he became the similitude of lost man. He was a likeness of it, an outward picture of an inward truth. And his body was broken so that we could see our own brokenness. We could see our own crown of thorns and the guilt and the pain and the suffering also that we have caused other people to have. Understanding that truth and bringing that to mind the next time you feel angry or resentful or lust or whatever it is, you bring into your mind the truth of that person's soul that you're angry about. And you realize they have guilt and they have shame and they have anger. They have bruises that they've been receiving all their lives. And you have compassion on that person. And you remember, the water or the understanding we have creates a record of who we are. And the spirit we manifest is based on that record. And you cannot change that. The record we have, the understanding we have creates a record. The record is manifest in the spirit you're showing. And when people are doing things to upset you, you've got to remember they're simply manifesting the crown of thorns, stripes on the back, nakedness and darkness. And you replace that anger with compassion. That action of replacing those thoughts that are making you angry, those thoughts that are making you adversarial, to replace those thoughts is an action of atonement. Now, I was always told atonement was forgiveness. Atonement is a covering. To atone is to cover. I want to read you a beautiful description of this, a picture of this. This is in Psalms. And I want to start reading in Psalm 78, verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongues. Flatter with the mouth, lie with the tongue. Because their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. That word is not forgave, it's the word atonement. He atoned their iniquity. Notice the iniquity, the thought that causes the rebellion. He, being full of compassion, atoned for their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and he did not stir up all of his wrath. Why? Verse 39, here's the atonement. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. Our atonement is seen in the picture painted on that cross, where you recognize the soul of humanity and bringing them to the place where they feel forsaken of God. They may not be saying that to you, but secretly in their hearts, they don't feel right with God. They know they are not right, and they try to cover it up by saying there is no God or ridiculing God. The point is, Psalm 78 is a picture of what it means to atone. And you bring this to the New Testament, and I'm telling you now that when you can replace those thoughts and atone, make an atonement using the cross, you have entered the kingdom. That is what our salvation is about. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, in this, love your neighbor as yourself. Why would he leave out the first commandment of to love God? Because the second commandment of loving your neighbor fulfills the first. How do you love God? You obey him, and his commandment to you is to love your neighbor as yourself. So, truly, the law is fulfilled in one word, and I'm not making it up. That's a verse, Galatians 5:14. It's fulfilled in one concept. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That was the purpose of the cross, to help us remove our anger toward those who have hurt us, to help us remove our guilt, and make those atonements that need to be made, make those changes in our thinking that need to be made to keep us walking accurately with God and walking in love. Because if I can have compassion on you and remember, you're really spiritually blind. See, that's darkness. Crown of thorns, pain, nakedness, and darkness. You don't really know God. And you're hurting from what has happened to you. You see, those things were depicted on the cross so I could make an atonement and look at you and see the pain that you're in and choose not to retaliate with more anger and causing more pain to you, more stripes on your back. This is why when you're looking at the Last Supper, he breaks the bread. Here's my body, it's broken for you. They're going to break my body. And there will be blood, and I'm going to bleed for you. Why? So that you can enter into the kingdom of God and make an atonement when it needs to be made, to walk in harmony with your family, to walk in harmony with those who have been hurting you, to give you a power within, to give you an ability. See, the reason, again, that all of this is important is because the church reaches this place of being in the kingdom of God. So that is why in some of the things we're going to read in the book of Revelation, it's because they've reached that place. They have come to that place where they can be in harmony with God. I want to show you, turn to Revelation chapter 20. And I want to read a scripture. Verse 1, I saw an angel or a messenger come down from heaven having the key of the abyss. That word is not bottomless pit. The word pit is not even there. It's simply the bottomless or the abyss. He had the key to the abyss. What is that? It's the key to the mind. Where do I get that? At the cross. I get that at the cross. It opens my understanding of my own mind. I have guilt and pain and nakedness and darkness. I possess those things. And the Lord is helping change that in me, but I have the key to that abyss and a great chain in my hand. That chain, you could say, is from the Father to the Son to me. That's the way the book of Revelation is written, from the Father to the Son to John, giving it to us. The chain. Can I call it a chain of truth? Can I call it a chain of command? Can I call it a chain of words? A chain of words is a saying. It's my understanding of myself and of you and of God. I have the key to my mind and this chain, and I'm able to lay hold on the dragon, the old one, the serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bind him 1,000 years. Well, believe it or not, that word 1,000 in the Strong's is 5507. It goes back to the Hebrew 505. And in the ancient Hebrew, this word had a concrete meaning. The actual meaning was a guide. A guide. The concrete meaning was a yoke. Abstract, it meant to learn. What word are we talking about? 1,000. they lay hold on the dragon and bind him for 1,000 years. 1,000 is a learning experience to be yoked. I could say yoked to Christ. Years is a repeated, it's repeatedly done. King James has put 1,000 years. That's a symbol of being yoked with Christ, or I could say walking in harmony with God repeatedly. That's 1,000. It's a yoke. It's to learn. It's a learning experience, a guide. With the key of the abyss and the chain, let's just say, of God's understanding. And really, I could make that even more clear. God's understanding is to receive God's understanding from the cross. Well, the cross is depicting us. So God's understanding, in this case, would be of us. Taking God's understanding of myself and allowing him to instruct me of my iniquity so that I can make atonement for the people who are upsetting me in my life. See, suddenly, we're in deep water here. When we talk about the kingdom of God, it's your ability to do this, to be in God's kingdom. He looks at you and remembers you're but dust. You pass away. See, he makes that atonement. He makes that covering. And the sacrifices were an atonement. We were told, well, that atone means forgive. Look it up. It doesn't mean forgive. It means to cover. You cover up what they have done with the thought of who they truly are, and you have compassion for them. And when you do that, you can walk in it with Christ as your guide. You could say that key in that chain, that is my guide. To walk in harmony, to be yoked with Christ, a learning experience, time after time after time after time, see, 1,000 years. That is what that is a symbol of. That is not literal 1,000 years. His kingdom does not come with outward observation. His kingdom is within you. When this kingdom is new with you, I'll drink this new with you in that kingdom. Here's the bread, break it. This is my body. Here's the blood, drink it. It's coming from a broken body. This is the covenant I'm going to make with you. He died to redeem you from iniquity, and that's what we're talking about. When somebody hurts you, and it creates that thought in you, that anger, that jealousy, that resentment, and he will remove that iniquity, and you can make an atonement in your thinking toward that person and stay in harmony with Jesus Christ. See, I want to emphasize again, looking at this chain, and it just came to me, really, the chain is seen in 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's interesting. In 2 Peter 1:1, he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith, see, the faith of Christ, like precious faith. Everybody that understands this the same is what he's saying, that we all have this understanding, the faith of Christ, and what happened on that cross, and what it all means. Now that you have that, now seek moral excellence. verse 3. According to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain unto life, godliness, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. We have exceedingly precious promises that we can be partakers of divine nature. Well, you just saw it in Psalm 78, the atonement that was made. So, 5, besides this, give all diligence and minister to the faith, moral excellence, virtue. From that knowledge, that's God's knowledge of you. And then temperance, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and finally love. I have to say that, I feel like I'm only human. I can only say this so well. You're going to have to make an effort to receive this truth and see the truth of God's love and what he has accomplished at the cross. But again, if you have an understanding of the abyss of your mind, and you can chain together the process of seeking moral excellence, the process of receiving God's understanding from that cross, and then self-control as God reveals to you where you are thinking wrong. You need to change the way you're seeing it and have patience with yourself in overcoming that, and devote yourself to it. That's piety. Devote yourself to living above the fruit of your iniquity. Change it. And it will lead to a greater compassion toward these people, and it will result in love. And without love, we're nothing. So again, as we're reading Revelation, it is this picture. It is the kingdom of God, the children of God enter into. And personally, in Revelation chapter 8, when he says that they prepared themselves to sound, in Revelation chapter 8, verse 6, the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. What I'm describing to you is the preparation. Coming to the fullness of love and understanding. Because if you step out there and try to give a message to the universal church and you don't understand the kingdom of God and you're not in it, you got to be in it. If you're not in it, then I would just say it would be better for you to enter the kingdom of God before you go start trying to tell people something. You can't give people something you don't have. And again, all the knowledge we have concerning prophecies and everything are meaningless if you can't walk in love. And that's what the cross gives you. An understanding of an atoning, a correction in your thinking, to take a second look at these people, have compassion, slow down, show kindness, and manifest love in every situation. So this concludes this podcast, and our next podcast, we're building on this, and we're going to see how it impacts the prophecies that we're studying. Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for what you're revealing, and we do worship you. We worship you and praise you. We pray for your leading, your guidance. We thank you for your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.